The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I wonder if there will ever be a time where we get on these things and we're like, dude, I don't know what we can talk about right now. I don't know if there's anything to be said.
You mean, hold on, Adam. You mean record an episode that's nonsense? We've never done that before.
No.
Do you know what?
That's complete nonsense.
I have to say that one of the things that we're very Seinfeld-esque, and I love that show.
What do you mean?
You don't watch Seinfeld?
No, I did, but what do you mean by that?
Well, what Seinfeld's known about is
show about nothing.
It was the first TV show about nothing.
Come on, we give good information. What are you talking about?
Well, of course, and they give good humor, but it's sprinkled in with tons of nothing.
Lots of nothing. Yeah.
Good. Welcome to Mind Pump, the show that's about nothing, sprinkled with fitness information.
Yeah. I like that.
It's even better, actually.
Can we change that, Doug? Can we do that?
It's kind of more accurate.
I would like to be that.
So
the show about absolutely nothing.
So I had an that was loud.
Inappropriate information.
Why was that so loud?
That's what I like.
I had a karmic event.
A karmic?
Yeah, I had a little karma.
Karmic
this morning.
Event?
Yeah, little karma.
Aren't you the one that always talks trash about that kind of stuff?
Huh?
Webster me there.
Huh?
Well, so here's what happened. Yesterday, you know, normal morning. Adam shows up 30 minutes late, which, you know, not too.
Let's hear this bullshit.
You're not always late. But anyway, I was talking shit about it. Right, I was teasing you about it. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I get here, no one's here. Put my bag down. I'm like, cool, I'm here first. I'm gonna go to the breakfast place that's 2 hours down and order two hard boiled eggs. Now, does anybody in here know?
Oh, so you were here because I didn't see your bag.
My bag was in the corner.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Who in here knows the length of time it takes to boil two eggs? Anybody? Is it like four minutes? Maybe 10 minutes if you start from like cold, right? 25 minutes. 25 minutes I sat there waiting, and I ended up being the late one here, and Adam got his revenge and got to talk shit to me.
Yeah.
So now we're even.
What do you mean? Get out of here, even. Doug and I are the only ones that care about the future of this company, I feel like.
Don't put yourself in the same category as Doug.
Whatever.
Nobody's in that category.
Doug and I are the only ones that talk to each other at 2 o'clock in the morning, still working.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking about your feelings.
No, a lot of times he'll call me up and be like, What do you think Sal and Jess are doing? I'm like, sleeping, of course, while you and I are working.
Yeah. You're working so hard. Tell me what you were working at 2 a.m.
I don't know.
Your toenails?
Yeah. Probably.
You're talking about your feelings.
It's all part of it, man.
Adam's, yeah.
It's all part of it.
Yeah. I wonder if I'm ever going to see you guys cry.
No.
You don't think so?
When's
the last time you
maybe
cried?
Maybe if we all go to a Tony Robbins seminar or something.
No, I won't cry there.
You know he's coming next month.
He'll make you cry.
He won't make me cry.
He will.
Nope.
Really?
Unless he punches.
I don't know if I don't know if I will either. Just because
I wouldn't. Not live.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like you'll be the first person to cry.
I do it in the confines of my home.
I think Adam will be the first person to cry, for sure.
Although I come off as the most insensitive, I think I have this deep, sensitive, warm spot in me.
In your pussy?
Dude, yeah, but if somebody's like crying right in front of you and they have like a horrible story and they're like crying like in your face, I would be like, ah.
This is how you fight it. You just laugh. It throws it off.
I bury
and you stop
it in my gut and I like.
When's the last time you cried, Justin?
I think I admitted that already.
When
right?
I was born?
Yeah.
Say I cried when I was born. For 2 seconds.
Dry tears.
When you have children,
it was only because something was in my eyes.
Yeah. I was misty. I wasn't crying.
Yeah.
Like I told you guys, I was just, you know, feeling it.
But Tony Robbins got me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You actually
that was the last time
you
for
actually
me.
Teared up watching it?
Well, I did one of these. Like,
it was kind of like, you know, like in the corner of the eye. You know, like got like glossy. And then I was like, oh my God, what's happening? What is this?
And I had to blow my nose.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It's, you know why? Because it's produced. So there's like, not only what? Is it, it's not only is it already like this.
Yeah, they have music.
Yeah, exactly. It's already like an emotional story that that someone's sharing, but yeah. they've I'm watching it on TV, so it's been edited, it's mm-hmm. been cut, it's mm-hmm. been spliced, the music's behind it.
Yeah.
So just it gets all those feelings going, man. Mm-hmm.
It hurts to bury it. Yeah. Yeah. I wish it was easy. I could be all like,
I'm far.
It's like what Doug does when you talk.
What do you mean?
You never noticed in our show that Doug produces it all up when you talk.
What does he do?
He totally cuts out all the dumb shit you say, adds in all the really smart stuff, puts a little bit of soft music behind. People don't even notice it's in their ears.
When you guys leave,
they get really motivated.
When you guys leave, I re-record my parts of the show after I go on Google and make sure that I'm saying things.
So people are like, I knew it. Sal is so smart.
So, yeah. So my grandfather
cut out
is,
all of our like informative facts.
Yeah, so, right. Anything that just
I just sound like this guy. Like,
he never says anything wrong.
Yeah.
So my grandfather, my Sicilian grandfather, is probably one of the most alpha men you'll ever meet in your entire life. Like, he is so alpha, it's ridiculous. Like, just standing next to him, your testosterone levels have to rise to be in his presence.
Yeah.
This man, without fail, has never not cried at any event that any of his grandchildren are at. Any of them. He's always in the back, and you always see him. He's sitting there, and he's just like this hardcore, like I said, old school Sicilian man.
Yeah.
He'll sit there, and then he'll grab his glasses. He wears glasses. He grabs his glasses. He lifts them up. He puts his finger underneath his eye to kind of wipe away the tears. And he cusses because he gets so bad that he cries.
Yes, he cries like a man.
Because he gets angry. Yeah. He goes, God damn it, son of a bitch. In English.
He's fighting
in English, too.
Yeah.
God damn it, son of a bitch.
Son of a
bitch.
Oh, it's happening.
God damn it, fuck. While he's crying.
Fuck this tear bullshit.
While he's crying because it's like, you know, his granddaughter's doing like a recital to like 10 of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time.
Dude, that's the thing about these like, you know, like real like hardcore testosterone guys. Like, there's a soft spot in there, dude. I know there's a soft spot.
Totally.
Dude, my grandpa is the same way. He's just like totally, you know, super alpha dude. Like, you know, just like always like punching me and, you know, like, because I would punch him first, of course.
You punch your grandfather?
Yeah. Dude, he was a strong dude. He used to play for LSU. And,
oh, really?
And, yeah, he was a badass. And he's the one that first gave me a cigar, and we smoked a cigar together.
No way.
So, yeah, my parents never even found
out
about that. Yeah, I was really young, dude. Went to the pool hall.
Wash it down with some whiskey, boy.
Come here, son.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, he was that guy. Like, yeah, every now and then I'd catch him. Just like,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's my grandpa
fighting it.
I had this client. What was his name? Jim. I don't want to say his last name, but anyway, he used to be a boxer back in the day. So
how come
he was,
you can do that, and I can't.
Because I'm not talking about illegal shit.
Oh, okay. That's a good point.
Yeah. Adam's like, hey, this one time I stole a car with my friend John, you know, Smith. It's like, bro, I gotta chuck people on the bus.
Yeah, they can trace this.
Yeah. So I got this client, Jim. He's in his he was in his mid-70s when I trained him, and he used to be a boxer back in the day. And back in those days, boxing was different than it is now. Like, back then, you boxed for 15 rounds or longer.
Oh, my God.
The ref didn't stop the
just
fight.
A bloody endurance mess.
The ref didn't stop the fight until you basically died. Like, now they stop the fight if you can't really defend. Back then, like, the guy would beat you till a pulp, and if you're still on your feet, then maybe they'll stop it, maybe not. So he boxed during that time. So he was this tough, old guy, and he had these, like, just these heavy hands. I mean, you could tell this guy could clobber you. Anyhow, one day I wasn't training him, and I went next door to the grocery store. And this dude used to love to fuck with me, and he'd hit me in my arm. And I swear to God, the 70-something-year-old man would hit me with his hand. And I swear to God, he wasn't trying to hit me hard. That's just how he hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always painful. Like, he'd hit me, and I'd be like, God damn.
Yeah,
like
solid.
Like, I can't imagine how hard you hit back in the day, because that hurts. So I'm in the grocery store, and I don't remember what I was doing. I was looking at something, and he open-handed hits me in the back of the head to like catch me off guard. And I swear to God, I saw stars. He hits me, poof, and I'm like, bro. And I turn around. He's like, always keep your guard up. And then he walks away.
You can tell when you...
I'm like, life lessons. Dude.
Yeah, what a dick.
You can tell when you meet people. Day before yesterday, we had a guy, I just met him first time, Dave, and introduced him to Mind Pump. So if he's listening, shout out to you, Dave. But when I shook his hand, dude, some people, they've got these fucking paws, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, you could just feel
just
how...
Just engulfs you.
Yes, you could just feel how solid...
Just a meaty hand.
Yeah, and I'm not a small guy, you know what I'm saying? So when I grab another man's hand that I feel like just swallows mine, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You could just imagine getting punched by someone like that.
Oh, dude, no thanks.
And that's where can we talk about genetics playing such a huge role, right? Somebody brought up a question on the forum that I had mentioned on the podcast that when I see, you know, I can look at someone's physique and just tell if they have a champion men's physique or bodybuilding type physique way before they even compete. You can just see it.
Mm. Or if you just want to bang them.
And people were asking, what is it that you can see or what how can you tell that? And I'm like, well, I mean, there's
lots, so many things.
There is lots of things. Probably number one, though, is just this natural symmetry, right? You can just, some people have these genetics where they already have chest, they have a shoulders, they have back, and it's all pretty symmetrical. That's a very small percentage. The rest of us have huge lagging body parts. It's like, man, I've got these great shoulders, but I have no chest, or, you know, my back's super weak and I have no calves. Like, that's most people. But yeah, some people, everything's really even and symmetrical. So it's a lot easier to build a champion type physique
But training goes a long way. I'm sure you guys, because I have a lot of blue collar workers in my family, and a lot of them did it, you know, back in the day in Sicily. You know, and they started working like my dad started hard labor, you know, 8 years old, 8, 9 mm-hmm. years old. He was working with the men, and he would actually bring a little bit of money home and give it to his mom. And whenever you like shake these men's hands, who are now in their 50s, 60s and 70s, they almost feel like they absorbed the cement they worked with or something. It's like, wow, that's
full of grit and, you know, rock hard granite.
Yeah, I immediately feel like a massive pussy. Like when I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you lift weights? That's nice. That must be nice to do that. I used to, you know, I used to punch rocks with my hands because we couldn't afford a hammer.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy shit like that.
Yeah. We complain.
I've been getting a lot of messages. I want to know if you guys are getting these messages too. I've been getting a lot, probably 4 in the last week, of personal trainers asking us to please do an episode on sales skills and how to build their business through better presentation skills.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys got any messages like that?
I've seen it, yeah.
Not that specific, but most people... Yeah.
Like, what are they saying to you?
Well, they're not just saying, they're asking for presentation. They're just like, I wish you guys would go over more sales stuff.
Yeah, more sales techniques.
Because I've not just trainers. I've had people that just are in sales positions and you know, respect what we've kind of done in our career in that realm. And we know that we've talked a little bit about it, and I've had people compliment too, that, hey, you know, I've heard this, you guys already have done an episode or two on it, and it was great information. I would love more if you guys would talk more about it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm cool with that. I don't want to detour our normal listeners that are, who just want purely fitness information, because I think sales is
sales is really another word for communication.
I was just going to say that, and you say that a lot, and I think that's a very good point for people to understand. So I think that once you understand that, like, let's say you have nothing to do with sales, but learning that effective communication is that right there. It translates into so many things in life, like relationships. I mean, if you're at all ever thinking about getting married, or you are married, understanding how to effectively communicate is fucking huge.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with trickery or fooling someone.
Or manipulating people feel or think it is. No,
I'm sorry. An effective communicator doesn't do those things. An effective communicator, all they're able to do is transfer their feeling and emotion and understanding to the other person. And unfortunately, we can't connect our brains together with a wire. But what we can do is use language.
Yeah.
And right. But we can use language, and using language, both verbal and nonverbal language, effectively will allow you to transfer what you're feeling, how you're feeling, and what you're trying to, you know, to say. Think about it this way. How many times have you gotten an argument with someone or in a debate with someone, and they simply just don't see your point of view? They just don't understand your point of view. Imagine if you could convey what you're feeling to that person. Here's what would happen. Maybe they would agree with you. Maybe they wouldn't, but they would understand you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference there. You know, I see people, especially right now, we got the political season going on and people debate politics all the time. And where people fail is they fail whenever they're trying to debate someone, they fail at conveying their point of view, and they fail at having the other person understand them. So it just becomes a fight rather than, okay, my point of view is different than yours, but I understand where you're coming from. That's what effective communication is. And sales skills is that.
And there's equal parts, you know, between the parties, because if the person comes into the process of it just with presentation mode, they're going to run right over, and they might misread the communication that's being thrown right back. So meanwhile, this presentation is happening, there has to be a receptive quality to it, where I'm responding to their body language now, and I'm adjusting what I'm presenting based off of, you know, either it's body language like you mentioned, or it's verbal language that they're feeding back.
Excellent, because one of the the first lessons I learned in sales. When I started in fitness, selling came very easily to me because I'm a very passionate person. I tend to speak with conviction. I get excited about things. And so I did very well right off the bat. But that doesn't mean I didn't learn as I continued along with the process.
Oh, of course.
And one of the first things I learned, because I can communicate, you know, a million times more effectively now than I could when I first started, you know.
Probably even compared to 3 years ago.
Compared to last year.
Yeah.
But one of the first lessons I learned was this. Selling is not telling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let that sink in. A lot of times people think selling is, so if I'm selling, you know, Adam a product, or I'm communicating to Adam my point of view, it's not me talking the whole time. You know, you can get away with that a little bit if you're really good and you're really charismatic and you've got this natural ability, but you're only going to go so far. Selling really is about listening. That's so much more effective. It's about asking questions and allowing that person to talk to you so you can understand where they're coming from. And when I finally learned that, and it was probably took me a year to really learn that, it took me to a whole nother level in terms of being able to sell, you know, training or memberships or train my sales staff. Because up until that point, I was very effective at sales, but one of two things would either happen. Either A, a person would buy from me, and it was pretty frequent that that would happen, or B, I'd blow them so far out of the water that they'd walk out and never want to come back.
Yeah, but let's talk about why that's so challenging. Why is that so challenging for people to do that? Did you see the post I did the other day, the Margaret Thatcher quote?
No, I love her.
I fucking love her.
Yeah, too. Margaret Thatcher is one of my favorite.
I fucking love her shit. So she said, I'm an extraordinary patient provided I get my own way in the end. And I'm sure most people thought of that and they're like, oh, that's like, you know, I'm so stubborn that I'll wait till I get. No, it's about patience and understanding that what your desired outcome is. And I think that when people get into a conversation, and you could, this carries over to a basic conversation with a relationship where you are trying to get your point across, or this can happen in sales, and people react emotionally. And when someone tells you no, or they say something you don't like, or they say something you weren't ready for, people, something happens to them and they react.
Yeah.
And this is like rule number one.
Or shut down.
Yeah, or shut down, right? Or get frustrated, or show that they're frustrated in their face or their expression or their demeanor, right? So learning to be patient when communicating is so, so important. You go into that conversation, you go into that sales presentation, whatever it is, with this desired outcome of, this is what I want to accomplish from this. I want this person to either, one, purchase this from me, or your other desired outcome, if this was just a conversation, is I want this person to understand my point of view or where I'm coming from. So if that's true, then everything that you do leading up to that is so important to that. And when they say things that throw you off, like, oh, no, I don't need that, or I don't want that, getting hung up on that right there is where people get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody can sell somebody who comes in and says, oh, I want this, or oh, yes, yes, and are
not selling them.
Well, and you see right there, like, that's where a lot of these programs for how to sell better, like, they're trying to get you to learn how to overcome objections. And it is a lot of what you're describing, is just being patient to talk your way through that obstacle.
It is. And, you know, asking questions directs a conversation. If you want to take a conversation somewhere, the only way to do it effectively is to ask a question. Okay, here's an example. Justin, what's your favorite color?
Green.
Okay, so now we're talking about colors. I mean, all I did was ask him his favorite color. He answered, and now we could talk about colors all day long. And so if you're having a conversation with a potential customer, and you're a trainer, for example, start asking them questions. You ask the questions, they'll start talking about, you know, they'll give you the answers, and now you can direct where it's going to go. For example, if I'm talking to, you know, Mrs. Johnson, and we're going to talk about personal training, a question I may ask is, you know, how many days a week do you think you could dedicate on a consistent basis? Like, you know, you could do this for long term. How many days can you dedicate to exercise here in the gym for, let's say, an hour? Now, she's going to tell me how many days a week. And it might be one day a week. It might be 3 days a week. I'll confirm it after she answers me. So she says 3 days a week. And I'll say, are you sure now? So 3 days a week for 1 hour, 100%, you know, you can commit to that and you feel like that's something you could do long term. And she'll say yes. Now, what I've done with that is two things. Number one, I've got her in the mindset of committing to exercise. Number one, because she's telling me how many days a week she can commit to.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I've overcome one of the biggest objections you'll ever get in fitness, which is, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to be consistent. I don't know if I can be, you know, if I can keep this up long term, because she's already answered that question. One thing you want to keep in mind and realize is everything that I say to somebody can be either true or false. The person that determines whether or not it's true or false is the person I'm talking to. I can say this is the best pizza ever, and they'll determine whether or not my statement is true or whether or not it's false. But whatever they say is always true to them, always. So if I ask them, how many days a week do you think you can commit to working out in the gym on a consistent basis? And she says 2 days a week. That is a true statement.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
And I want to stop you there, because I think there's a moment right there where people have a tendency to the part where you mentioned before, to want to tell you now.
Right.
You say that, and then I tell you that, oh, you need to do this, or we want you to do this.
They're trying to be prescriptive, but they're not listening to the feedback.
Exactly. You use an example I think you should use more of an extreme example, because it does happen. Someone says, well, I'm just so busy, I maybe have one day I can get in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all. I mean, I got kids, I've got this, and maybe I can commit to one.
Right.
So often I've seen trainers hear that and then go like, well, you know, you need to come in 3 times a week.
They're trying to sell the wrong thing.
Exactly.
That person has committed to one day a week. Your job now is to figure out a way or to sell them or to communicate to them how you can help them one day a week, because they've just told you a true statement. And if I sit there now, the person's just told me I can definitely commit to one day a week, and now I'm going to turn the conversation into, no, you need to work out 3 days a week. The odds of that person hiring me as a trainer have actually decreased tremendously.
Tremendously.
Tremendously. Mm-hmm. But if I take that one day a week and I say, John, I'm glad you gave me that honest answer. There, 1 day a week isn't a lot. However, it's 1 day more than you're currently doing now. And here's how we can design a program to get you some results 1 day a week.
Stop that again. Okay, so you just said something that's beautiful, okay, that people don't understand how to do this either, which is, in a sense, what they just said, it's not what you want to hear. I'm trying to sell you 3 to 4 times a week, you know, for the next 6 months. In my head as a personal trainer, I want lots of commitment. I want you serious. Sure. I want to make
want the perfect client.
Yeah, right? And you say something to me, and in my head, emotionally, you can't show this in your body language, right? You can't show that, oh, great, I got this guy who's...
It's a one-time a week.
One-time a week. Instead, what Sal did, and I do the exact same thing, which I take something like that, which in their mind, they know they're saying this to the trainer. They're thinking already, they know that... That's not ideal. They know that. They're not stupid.
Right.
So if you play into that, you're only going to make that situation worse. Instead, surprise them. Be like, you know, oh, man, that is awesome that you can commit to 1 day a week right now. That's a perfect start. So you're excited.
And you're not lying.
No,
it is.
Yes.
Because you don't know their situation.
Yeah, they weren't doing anything before. Later down the road, you can commit them to 2 to 3 to 4 times
Thank
a week.
You.
Right now, you work with what they give you, and you're excited to work with what they give you. And you need to portray that and give that energy off to them. If you do that, you'll get them excited about it. But what they're expecting from a trainer, which has probably happened to them before, is when they say a statement like that, the trainer goes like, oh, really? Like, you couldn't do another day? Or they're trying to push more days, or they're trying to get them to commit more when they've already told you, this is all I got. Your job as a trainer, and this is the part where you have to learn how to mold. Like, you have a boss who tells you, you know, oh, this is ideal, or, you know, even MAPS. Our MAPS program is designed 3 times a week. So ideally, I would want my person working out 3 times a week if they're going to follow my program. Well, what if I can't? What if they only go 1 day? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be all bummed about that, or am I going to try and convince them they need to come 3? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be excited that I'm going to help you with that 1 day a week, and I want you to feel that from me. So that's what you just did, and you did it really fast and nonchalant, but I wanted to pause and tell everybody, like, there's an art to that.
Yeah,
there's an art to you portraying that and doing that as well. This was something that I felt like when I was coming up there in sales, there's tons of books, there's tons of great people I've been around, but what I was able to do was I was able to listen to somebody who presented really well, and I was able to see all those little things. And I don't know if that was just a natural gift or what, but when someone talks like that, I can see that. I can see, like, because I know inside emotionally how I'd be reacting and feeling. And to see that person do that, I'm like, wow, I wonder if he knows what he just did. I wonder if Sal knows what he really just did, or that's just a natural gift that he has. Because what he did, it was so powerful, because he shifted the emotional feeling that is opposite of what most people would have done. That's
right.
Very, very key.
Right. Well, you know, you got to remember this. If you're... again, Adam talked about, you know, thinking about the desired outcome. What you don't want to do is you don't want to create your own, you don't want to create obstacles. You don't want to create objections. And if I'm listening to this person tell me that they can only come once a week and my ideal client comes 3 days a week, I can completely create an objection by telling them they have to work out 3 days a week. Now I've created this objection, and their objection now is, I can't do what you're telling me, Sal. I can only do once a week. So now we're going to sit here and battle about that. But let me give you another example of when people create their own obstacles when they're trying to communicate or to sell something. Let's say I'm giving this person a tour of my gym, or I'm showing them around and we're looking at things, and the person tells me, man, it's packed in here. Now, I can create that. I could turn that into objection by arguing with them about that, or by trying to
go around, it's just busy right now. Or like,
it's only busy. Like, first of all, don't assume never assume the person you're talking to is an idiot, because it is packed. You are walking through a busy gym, and if I sit there and say to them, well, and don't forget what they say is true and what you say may be true or false. So I could say to them, oh, it's extremely busy tonight, but that's totally unlikely. It's not like this normally. Normally it's really slow. I've just created this. I've taken the conversation to something that I didn't need to do and created this objection and this obstacle that really isn't there. Instead, all I need to do is
get excited about it.
Or not even get excited. That's one way to do it. Or what I do is I would agree with them. Be like, yeah, it is packed tonight. And we're done.
Yeah.
Like that part of the conversation is over.
Oh, I would take that and I would say, man, it is packed. This is one of the reasons why I love what I do. Look at all the people in here that are working towards their goal. I love that feeling.
Feel the energy.
Feel the energy of all these people heading towards their goals like that. Imagine, I would never want to walk into a gym that was dead and no one in there, because it would be so unmotivating. This totally motivates me. Or, hearing those treadmills going, the feet stomping, people excited to get on the next, you know what I'm saying?
Like, and don't forget, and you can, you know, use analogies that people will understand, because people who never really worked out in gyms, they see a crowded gym and to them it looks like intimidating. Mm-hmm. But everybody can relate to the restaurant that you walk in 6 or 7 o'clock at night when people are having dinner. You walk into a restaurant and there's no one in there. Immediately you think to yourself, what? The food's probably shit.
Yeah.
Like this, I don't know if I want to eat here. Then you walk into a restaurant and it's fucking happening. You're immediately thinking to yourself, like, this is probably a good place to eat. There's probably good food. And so I've used that analogy in the past. And that's only when it's become an objection, by the way. Only when I say, yeah, it is pretty packed. And then they say, I don't know if I like to work out in a really busy gym. And I'd be like, well, it's kind of like restaurants. One of the reasons why we're really busy is it's a great place to work out. But finding a way to follow your program and work out is never a problem. And then we move on. But see, here's the thing. Like, we just talked about how sales is communication. This is an effective tool when you're arguing with your wife or your husband, or you're talking to somebody. Like, let's say you're arguing with your spouse about, you know, money, or who has to pick up the kids, and you know, she says to you, you know what, you need to pick up the kids tomorrow. And you're like, well, I can't because I got to work late. And then she says to you, you know, you were a jerk the way you said that to me. Now we could sit there and argue about how I said it, or I could say, you're right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. And we've moved on to the real subject, which is who's going to pick up the kids tomorrow. I'm not trying to create obstacles. I'm trying to move through those obstacles so we can get to the core of the conversation. And when you're in sales, the core of the conversation is, are you or will you buy my product or my services? That's what I care about right now. All I care about is, and in sales is a famous line, all that matters is to get them to sign on the line that is dotted. And I know some of you listening are going, oh, that's harsh and that sounds so. But the reality is, the reason why you're talking to this potential customer is you want them to either buy your services or hire you so that you can do what you're supposed to do. Your job is to do what? Train them, get them in shape, and help them. So get all those other obstacles out of the way and don't produce those obstacles yourself. The other thing I'd like, you know, I want to touch on is a very effective nonverbal, you know, form of communication, because a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people realize that most of communication is actually nonverbal. Mm-hmm. I think experts say something like 70% of your communication is not the words, but actually how you say them and how you move. And
well, one thing that I remember from just going through, I took some business courses when I was in college, and I really liked this professor's mentality for any time we presented as a group. Like, you'd have a leader and they would present something, or if it was in front of the class, you present something, you wore a suit, and it was something that was like simple, but like just feeling that you were all put together, mm-hmm. and you you're presenting it, people respond so much more like in a different way than they would if you were just up there with your hair all fucked up and, you know, you're just wearing casual clothes and all that. Like it commands authority.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I would manage, so managing gyms, we had a uniform that we had to wear. And in the early days of managing these gyms, the policy on how you wore your uniform was much looser. Later on, they said you had to tuck your shirt in, you had to do whatever. But before, it was kind of loose, and you know, you're in a gym, so everybody thinks it's kind of a loose atmosphere. I made every single one of my trainers tuck their shirts in. And, and let me tell you something. I got pushback from a lot of these trainers. Mm-hmm. But and because a lot of them be like, it looks nerdy, I don't tuck my shirt in, this and that. It makes a big difference. Like when someone's looking to hire you and you look you look nerdy, but you look like you take that shit seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah.
But some of the other nonverbal cues, here's an easy one. Mirror the person you're talking to. That is a very effective communication tool, is to mirror them. And what does that mean? Well, that's everything. If the person speaking to you is super loud and boisterous, then you might want to bring yours up a little bit, match them a little bit. If they're a little more quiet and slow, then you don't want to be the loud, boisterous person. You want to bring your level down a little bit. If you're sitting, you know, in front of at a desk with them and they're sitting back and kind of relaxed, then you be a little sit, you know, so you sit back. Right. If they are in your face, and then you match them a little bit. And the science behind this is established that people will listen to or understand people who are more like them than people who are less like them. So it's something to just take note of when you're walking with someone through the gym or you're talking to somebody about.
Well, you know, listen to you say that stuff too, because I'm thinking in my head, I want to be able to give people like some books that, you know, that I read that I came across too that's helped in specific areas that we're talking about. And you know what? The more I think about it, I can't think of a lot of just pure sales books that I read. Like I remember a book I liked called Sway. That was cool.
I remember did you ever take the Tom Hopkins course that they made us take at 24?
I don't think I did, actually.
Yeah, they had this like Mastering the Art of Membership Sales course that we took.
Maybe I did do that, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I think
it was the whole like,
it was called, what was it called? There was a name.
It was Mastering the Art of Membership Sales. And then he did the old school, like, you know, tie down and, you know, overcoming objections. And he had like this formula that he did.
I've had more, I think things that, books that I've read it with leadership, neurolinguistics, Winning with Jack Welch, with understanding how to be candid, like things like that. I think those things impacted my sales more than anything else. So like understand, like winning with Jack Welch is like a big part of his book is learning how to be candid, is just being straightforward with people, not being afraid to say exactly how it is versus, you know, kind of pussyfooting around with stuff. So I took a lot from that. The neurolinguistics is understand. We talked a little bit about body language and people's, you know, their eyes when you're talking to them and mirroring them. You're talking about that. A lot of that type of stuff is in there. That's a really good book for that. That's huge. Like if you have somebody who, when you're talking to them in a presentation, they sit up, they're intensely listening. You intensify the way you're delivering it to them. They're sitting back casual and they're laid back with their foot up and stuff. You're casual the way you talk to them. So I think that's a very good tip. And that's not something you're going to find in a sales book. That's just effective communicating. Like we've talked about. I think that, a lot of it too is, practice.
Yeah.
Is taking,
oh, come on, man. That's all of it.
Yeah. You have to, and I would probably say that I'm probably weak sauce right now, just because I mean I used to do that every single day of my life for hours a day, is teaching this or talking to clients, trying to sell them on training, where we don't really have to do that. We haven't done that in a very long time. If you probably asked me to go sit in a gym, it'd probably take me a few rounds to, you know, knock the dust off and get back to that. So, you know, there, and as long as I've been doing it and all the tools and all the books and everything that we've read and been through, even myself, I think that if I were to be put in that setting again, if you drop me into a gym, you know, it would probably take me about a week or two to get back in the swing of things, get some people in front of me and remember what these objections are.
There's a rhythm, there's a cadence, there's all these things. Yeah. I mean, I noticed that, like, it took a lot of work for me in the beginning, especially, but then I got better. And then there came a point where I was good with clientele. Like I was like, I'm set. And I was like, I don't really necessarily need to bring anybody new on, but now somebody new is coming in and I have to repeat the process. And you feel it when you haven't been practicing it.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, people, I used to give my trainers and sales guys goals, not for how many sales they got. They would have those goals. Those are obvious. But for how many presentations they would make. I would tell my trainers, your goal today is to talk to and present to 10 people about personal training.
That's a great leadership tip for somebody, is focusing on those things.
Yeah, focus on
instead
the things
focusing that make... Most leaders, or well, I shouldn't even call them leaders,
they push the result, not the process.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you need to close, or you need to sell $300 by today, or this week you're behind in sales, you need to do this. Like, that's so like intimidating for the average salesperson to hear. Like, no, I know that if you talk to 10 people, out of those 10 people, 5 of them are going to listen. Out of those 5 that listen, 2 of them are going to purchase something average dollar amount.
Yeah, it always amounts to what can you do? You know, like I could go talk to a member. I could call somebody up. If you have the resources for it, like, which was a great resource to find these memberships where they gave out, you know, a couple of these free sessions, you have these backlogs and then you just go through and you call them. And you just it's the constant effort you're placing with like communicating with, you know, the sales guys and trying to create, you know, a relationship there so they know that you're the go-to guy. Just being around constantly and being available and friendly with your front desk person, with, you know, your managers, with like you're just the reliable guy or girl that people recognize in the gym and will respond to.
Well, here's the thing. I think people, for whatever reason, when it comes to sales, I encounter this all the time. When it comes to sales, people assume that it's you either have it or you don't. You know, like I get the whole like, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I can't go talk to people. That's not, you know, oh, my friend, he'd be good in sales because he just can talk to anybody. Sales, is there natural ability that will influence how well you do? Of course, there's natural ability in anything you do. I don't care if it's physical, mental, or verbal, or whatever. But is it a skill? You better fucking believe it.
Yeah.
It is a skill.
Yeah.
So if you're like, hey, I'm not one of those people, you've already assumed and you've sold yourself that you're just never going to learn, that you're never going to get better. And that's a massive mistake.
Oh, for sure.
That's
whether
a massive
mistake. You think you will or you won't, you're probably right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a skill. So practice it and you'll get better as you continue to practice. I promise you, I have turned, you know, and this is not me, you know, tooting my own horn. Okay. This is just evidence. This is evidence for what I'm talking about. I have turned some of the shittiest salespeople into very strong performers within large companies that I've worked for simply by practicing and training and learning that skill. I was so good at doing that, and I had many, many teams where we succeeded very, very well, and I didn't have any superstars. I just had a lot of people who just practiced their skill and got, you know, pretty good at it because they practiced. So it's a skill like anything. Practice it, and the way you practice it is you go out and you do it. You got to go out and present and present and present and get a lot of people saying no to you and fuck up a million times. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, over time, within that day, actually, you'll find yourself getting better and better. Here's something, too, that just popped in my head that I haven't never brought up on the show before. And this is something very simple, very small, but is actually quite effective. I'll ask Adam this question. Is it easier to sell someone something standing up or sitting down behind a desk with them?
Oh, standing up.
You think standing up is easier for you?
Yeah.
So standing face to face versus sitting down?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm very animated.
You need to figure that out for yourself. Yeah. That's my point.
Yeah.
My point is figure out if you can, are you better talking standing or are you better sitting down with the customer in front of you? Once you figure that out, that's where you end up. So mm-hmm. if you're like Adam and you like standing, then you're there, then go for it. Personally, for me, if I could take them down to my desk and we can sit down, my odds would always dramatically increase because we could sit down.
Well, let's be honest, so you and I, you know, you talk about the way you are and the way you speak versus how I speak. A lot of me is energy and I transfer that to my client. That's what I was good at. I was good at getting you excited about something. And I would love to take somebody back and I would do an assessment with them and I'd be walking around them and pointing out all the things on their body and like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that with you. And transferring that energy was something I was really good at doing. Could I sell sitting down? Of course, but that wasn't my strength. And I could see you being the opposite because you're not somebody who's like I am, where you speak all loud like that. And you're
no. If I'm speaking to a group, I want to stand. But yeah. If I'm talking to somebody, yeah. One of the most effective things I ever did for myself was we would do our assessment and then we'd go back and it's okay, let's go back and talk about what we just saw and then we'd talk about the programs and we would sit down and slow it down and now we're talking about getting you to hire me.
How about also techniques as far as like, you know, tie downs, assumption, alternate advance, like these are all different types of closing. So I love using an assumption close. You guys, we just did an episode or did a Q&A, I think, a couple days ago that aired. And when it aired, one of the questions was asked how to pick up on girls. And one of the things that I said I would do is I would walk over and I would just, you know, is Friday or Saturday better for you? That's actually called an assumption close. I'm assuming you want to go out with me already. It's whether it's Friday or Saturday. The same thing works in a sales presentation. That's where that came from me. It's like I learned how to speak to girls while I was learning how to sell personal training to people. And you, when you walk up to, when you're talking to a member or a guest and you're talking about getting personal training.
The whole gym was pregnant.
When you talk to them, you just assume that we're going to be training together. You're sitting down listening to me. We're talking about fitness. I'm a trainer. You need help. I'm just going to assume that we are going to work. So I talk about so what we're going to do. So what we're going to do with your program, the very first week, we're going to focus on this. And then what we're going to do is I talk as if we are going to do this. So that, and you continue the entire.
That's very powerful.
Very powerful. But especially if you've been talking to them for an hour. You've been talking to them an hour about all this stuff we're going to be doing together, and you haven't even talked about price. You haven't right. talked about money. You haven't tried to sell anything. You've just talked about what we're going to do. It's amazing how that just is a natural flow from there. Like now it's just a matter of how long did you want to do that with me for, or did you want to just start with the first half of that, or would you like to pay for all that in full, or, you know, that's what you want to get to, right? You want to get to the point where that's just the option.
Well, it displays confidence. If I'm talking to a trainer and I'm thinking about working out with them and they're already telling me what the program's going to look like,
with them.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty confident in this trainer. Like, oh, okay, this person knows what they want to do with me and they're painting the picture and I think this is going to work. Another example, we talked about the guy or girl who said they can only work out once a week. Now that they've said that at the end, I could say, okay, cool. You said you can work out once a week. Which day are we going to start? I'm assuming like we're getting started. We're going to do this. And people, especially in fitness, they need that. They need that because the motivation to start is, here's the thing. Think about it this way. The hardest step that person has taken towards their fitness goal
was to get in that door.
Was just to walk in the door.
Yep, to get there.
You have no idea how many times that person has thought about walking into that gym.
Or and sometimes they'll tell you. Sometimes, and that's not a bad question.
No, that's a great one.
That's a great.
How long have you been thinking about
that's
this?
That's a great commitment question right out the gates. Like, and you want to talk about getting someone emotionally bought in and getting those juices flowing is right when you first start. Say, you know, I know you want to talk about your goals. I know you want to talk about all the things you want to work on, but let's first talk about the psychological part. Like as a trainer, I want to help you all the way around. It's not just your fitness. To me, that's the easy part, but it all starts up here, you know, and I'll point to my brain. You know, it's all here first. And, you know, tell me, like, how long have you been thinking about, you know, what we're talking about right now? How long have you been thinking about losing that 30 pounds? How long is this? And what was different this morning? What was different this morning that you said, I'm fucking walking through that door. I'm going to change something. I'm going to make a difference. What I want to know.
Let's break that down. Yeah, let's break down what just happened.
Let's get into that.
Let's break down what just happened. So what Adam just did by asking them how long you've been thinking about it and what was different about today, what that person has now done is they've now committed to starting now. They didn't realize it at first, but once they're telling Adam, like Adam said, what have you done? What do you do? What happened differently this morning? What made you finally decide to come talk to a trainer today? They're going to now give you all the reasons why they're starting today.
Yeah. And why they've struggled in the past.
Why they've struggled in the past and why they're not struggling now and why they finally made the decision. And that's a closed question. That's actually a question that's a small yes that's going to lead to the big yes, which is them, you know, hiring you and getting your product.
It also gives you the opportunity to...
It's like foreplay.
To revisit that when you do finally get to your closing presentation. So
if an objection ever comes up.
Yeah, right. And let's say, for example, that person says, you know...
I got to think about it.
It's been... it's been 2 years after I had my child. I had 30 extra pounds. Then I got a new job. Then my husband got injured. So I had to pick up an extra job. And they have all this stuff that, right, they're telling you all their things. This is very real. This is normally what happens. They got all this stuff that's going on for reasons why they haven't got to themselves, right? And you could, a lot of times people get emotional when they're sharing all that. Oh, and it's been wearing on me. And I finally, this morning I said, that's it. You know, it's time that I take care of myself. So what I will do after I hear something like that, I will commend them for being here. You know what? What's awesome is what you just did is the hardest part. You fucking walked through that door today. You'd spend 2 years, you've had all, and here's the thing, you know what's crazy? And I get this a lot, especially with my moms, my dads, husbands, wives, is they tend to put everybody else as a priority above themselves. They've got kids, they've got a spouse, they've got a job, they've got family, they've got friends. And where do they fall? They're like nine or 10 on the list of like, and when you really think about that, how good are you to all those other things? If you're not mentally there, you're not physically there, your health isn't there. Like how important really are those things if you're not here or you're not here healthy or you don't feel good? Like think about that. And then think about how much all those things are enhanced when you do feel good and when you are where you want to be. So what I want to do today is I want to make sure that, you know, you did the hardest thing was walk through that door. I want to make sure that I help you with this commitment the rest of the way. So literally today, all we need to figure out is exactly what it's going to take to get you there. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make sure of that. I'm going to help you.
We call this the Adam rub the shoulders technique.
But I mean, again, he is, you know, just through that conversation, he's displaying confidence in what he's doing. And no client is ever going to hire, or no customer is ever going to hire a trainer that doesn't seem confident in helping that person achieve their goal with the parameters that the client has set forth, with the, I can only work out once a week, or I can only work out twice a week, or, you know, I've got this injury, or I have no motivation. Because now I'm listening to Adam and I'm thinking to myself, this guy seems really confident that he can help me after I've told him I can only work out once a week, or after I've told him that I've thought about this for 10 years. I think this might be someone I'm gonna place my, you know, my trust into. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask them to trust you. You don't be afraid to tell them that you will earn their trust. You know, one of the most powerful lines I ever used on someone is I have said to someone is, I'd say, listen, I'm going to ask you this one time to trust me, and I promise you I'll never have to ask you again. Now, that comes across very powerful to the person listening, especially in fitness, because people in fitness or people who are looking to become fit, that is the big fear. The big fear that they have is, I'm going to get started and I'm going to stop, or I'm going to get started and it's going to be like the last time I did it where I had to work out a ton. I barely got any results and then I couldn't keep it up and I felt crappy. But if I'm talking to somebody and I'm looking at them and I'm listening to them, and boy, they have conviction, they're confident, they're showing me what it's going to look like, and oh wow, it's all in the time frame and scale that I said that I can commit to. Well, now I feel like this is possible. I think this is something I can do.
Well, it's important to note too that not one time has Sal came out and said anything nerdy either. It doesn't. A lot of times trainers feel insecure because they don't have enough fitness knowledge yet.
Yeah.
We haven't said anything scientific. That's a big point. We haven't made any scientific points right now. That just sharpens the clothes. You know what I'm saying? That just takes it to a whole nother level when you can start to sprinkle all that in there, bits of knowledge and information. But really, it's just that ability to communicate that. And most people are hard. They need that motivation. They need that extra push. They need somebody that they can trust in to be there. Yes.
You want to meet their needs first.
Yes.
I mean, that's your mentality. And you can meet them where they are.
You can do all this. And this is why, you know, I'm sure this is why when Sal was, you know, what, 19 when he started, I was 20. Why we had success even before we had the knowledge and experience that we had now is because we were able to communicate like that. We didn't have all the science. We didn't have all the knowledge. We didn't have all the experience, but we did have this peace, this passion. We did care about our people, and we did have this ability to communicate that. Later on, all the other shit came. Because now it's really powerful. Now, we don't even have to go into this. And now you have this confidence about yourself because you've already proven for so many years, and most of your shit that comes your way is referrals. But at the beginning, you just can't be afraid to put yourself out there.
No, and I want to be very clear, too, like to those of you listening who are not in a job for sales or whatever and are hearing this and thinking, oh, this is how salespeople just want to sell you stuff. No, here's the deal. Like, you will never be a successful or truly successful salesperson if you do not truly believe in your product. That is 100% step one. That the true and real confidence and conviction comes from me knowing that I am going to deliver. I am not going to promise or say shit that I can't do more than, or I can't over deliver. If I tell you you know, we can lose about a half a pound a week. I know I can probably get you to do 1.5 pounds a week because I want to over deliver. So that's rule number one. You need to believe in what you're talking about, what you're selling, what you're your product, your services, because you need to over deliver. Because the other thing as a trainer is this, the selling doesn't stop once the person hires you. The selling continues for as long as that person is your client.
Oh, yeah. Well, even now in this day and age, authenticity is such a humongous factor because of the, you know, access to information. And so I honestly would suggest you steer a little bit more away from like bombarding them with information about like the process and how smart you are because of whatever CERT or, you know, they're able to do a lot of research themselves with, you know, the internet, and I'm sure they do some of it now more so than they did in the past. But really, like, it's meeting them for what they want to achieve and then making them feel comfortable with that process and believing that you believe in this process that you're presenting to them.
It's so funny. I had a client years ago come to me. She was a teacher, and she taught at a university, and one of her students had referred her to me because she was telling this story about her encounter with a personal trainer. And so this woman went to a trainer. She had osteopenia, which is before osteoporosis. Her doctor said, you know, lift weights. It'll help strengthen your bones. So she went to a gym, asked for the best trainer. It was some dude. She did an assessment, sat down with him. And the dude at the end was like, don't worry, we're going to get you so toned. You're going to look great. You're going to burn body fat. And he completely did not listen to what she wanted, which was, I need to get my bones stronger. Like, I could give a fuck about, you know, toned muscles and looking a certain way. And so she was telling this story to her class because she ended up not hiring the trainer, and she got referred to me, and she told me the story. And this is so typical. I mean, what Justin's talking about, you know, listening to what the person wants, and in focusing on that, that is crucial. And it's one of the biggest mistakes people make is not doing that. You're not telling them, you know, you don't want to focus on what you think they want. You want to focus on what they want. And if what they want is wrong, then you got to do a very good job. And what I mean by that is if the person's telling you, I just want to get beat up in the gym, and you know that's the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Which that's a good point to bring up because a lot, I mean, I know you guys have all, I've had a ton that, hired me and they straight up say like, I need someone to kick my ass. You know what I'm saying? I need to get it going. I need that. You need someone to just light me up. And I've seen so-and-so getting this, and like, so you're going to get that. So that's good to point that out.
Right. And you want to reframe it. You want to reframe it. And what I mean by reframe it is, does the person really want to come in and get beat up? Is that the goal? Is the goal to simply just get beat up in the gym? Mm-hmm. Or why do they feel like they need to get beat up? And so I'd ask them that. So like, oh, I need a trainer to kick my ass. I'd be like, well, why? What's your goal? Oh, I want to get lean. Okay, so you want to get lean. It's not that you want to come in and just get beat up. Your goal is to get lean, right? And they say, yes,
right.
Awesome. Because we're going to find the most effective way to do that. And it may include a lot of intense workouts. It may not. But we're going to watch your body and see how you respond. And you may be surprised. We may figure out a way to train your body the most efficient ways possible that takes less time and less effort and less energy. How does that sound? And I guarantee the person's going to look at you and go, that sounds awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll turn around and I'll ask that person right back that says that. I'll say like, oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I do get some clients that's all they care about. They just want to get hammered in the gym. They don't really care about changing their physique or getting in better shape. They just want to get hammered in the gym. You know, explain that to me. Are you somebody, are you wanting to lose body fat? Are you wanting to get in better shape? Or do you just want to get hammered in the gym because they're different? You know, so I'll put it back
on
them.
You just reframed it.
Yeah.
And you know what? 99.9% of the time, actually, I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me, oh, no, I don't want to get in better shape. I just want to get beat up.
Yeah. And so,
in which case, I'd be like, cool.
I've had a lady like that.
Yeah. Did you really?
It's crazy.
Oh, no, I've had that. I have. I that's why it's important to ask that, because I have had someone say, like, I don't give a shit about my weight.
I've had two ladies like that.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about my weight. I don't care about all stuff like that. I just, for me, it's stress relieving. I want to sweat. I want to do, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's what you want, like, I'm here to service you, but I want to make sure that's clear.
I'm
like,
have to change the title of what I am, though. I am Dominatrix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, don't be afraid to ask it. And that's just like Sal said, reframing that, you know?
Yeah. I think in the future, guys, just putting this out there in the far future, nothing too soon, but I think I really see that there's a need in the industry for fitness professionals to learn how to build their business. One of them is presentation sales skills, mm-hmm. but there's a lot that goes into building your business in fitness. And there's lots of certifications you can get and courses about fitness, but there's very little to nothing in terms of teaching these people how to build their business within this industry.
Well, of course.
So I think we need to eventually, this is something we should tackle, I believe.
Oh, well, 100%. This arena will definitely
100%. Because we all know that we came from the big daddy of all big daddy chains. I mean, it's the biggest in the world as far as fitness chains, as far as revenues.
And concerned. We were with it when it grew and implemented so many different.
And we know how terrible a lot of the sales training and all that stuff was because of the people that were teaching it weren't the most talented, and it's so big, it's hard to reach everybody. So I know just within that company how much help that we could do. So there's no doubt in my mind that there's a ton of trainers out there, especially if you're a private trainer. I mean, look, God, that's hard. If you're a private trainer and you didn't work at least at a chain like that, you get some sort of structure, some sort of...
It's a different animal completely.
Yeah, man. If you come fresh off of a kines degree and decide you're going to just, okay, I'm going to start being a private trainer.
Or I'm going to open up my studio right away.
That's a fucking monster and a half, man. Oof. That is, especially if you do it thinking because of how smart you are.
Right.
Because that's probably, I think a lot of these trainers, they meet a trainer and they say, like, they see their success and
they're like, oh, I know more than he
does. Oh, yeah. I know so much. He's an idiot.
Therefore, I'm going to be a successful trainer.
Yeah.
Wrong.
And that is so wrong. I mean,
I would love to be able to teach all these really smart trainers how to build their business because it will only help so many more people, because there are a lot of really good communicating trainers that aren't that good.
Haven't you seen that? There's a huge, like, the best trainers I know are terrible at sales.
I hate to call them out,
but like, I would totally be like, dude, you know, I would love to help get you more business because you're doing it right.
Well, there's a huge disconnect here with this profession that it seems like it's either or.
Yeah.
It's either or. Either
it is.
You are this super fit, buff, like fucking dialed in guy and don't know shit about helping anybody else out, you know?
And you're an awesome sup slinger.
Right? Yeah. And then you have the super intelligent, nerdy guy who spent most of the time in the books than he did in the gym and just can't communicate that to anybody. It's like, it is rare. And I know that it's very rare because I've trained thousands of trainers underneath me. And man, it was when you find that trainer who's got a nice balance of all of it, you're just like, oh,
hey, the heavens open.
I've actually had quite a few trainers message me and say that enrolling in our programs, the MAPS programs, help them with their business because it helped them learn how to present things like phasing and adaptation versus recovery and how to program properly. Yeah. And then that in turn gave them more confidence in presenting to their clients and customers. I would not be shocked if a nice chunk of the amount of programs that we sell goes to trainers who are just trying to you know, learn how to build their business through proper programming and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah.
Have you guys got any messages like that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I've gotten a lot.
We have a huge audience of fitness professionals.
Well, and of course, you guys being the big-time sales guys, too. I mean, I still get messages just on my own unique perspective of that, because it was more of a struggle for me, you know, being from that end of it.
Which is why I love to hear you talk about it. It's you in sales reminds me of me in men's physique. Everybody thinks like I'm this men's physique guy. Like, I did that because I wasn't good. I didn't have the natural genetics like that. I wanted to prove that, hey, I could go after something, show you that there is a skill to this. There is a piece to this that you can't train that way. The same thing goes with sales. You know, maybe Sal and I might have came out the womb communicating or feeling comfortable doing that, but it's not to say that somebody can't. I remember we've talked before about when I first met Justin, I had two trainers at the same time, and 100% I would have thought the other kid was going to be more successful at first sight, but that I did at that point, I was still learning Justin's work ethic, and he just had a work ethic that just danced circles around this kid. And that's why he excelled and continued to excel and is now would destroy him when it comes to that. So
yeah, there's a process to it, and that should be encouraging, because like if it's a struggle for you, you definitely can get better at it. And there's a method, and like, you know, you guys bring up a lot of gems for people to grab onto. Just if you just implement these few things first, and right away you'll see a difference. You know, it's just it's the practice and it's the application. And also, if you get these kind of nuggets, you know, really hold on to that and start to use it.
Well, there's another great point right there. So I would get, you know, we must have talked about already 10, 15 different little gyms as far as different types of closing skills and tie downs and points to make. That's a lot. I would never take all of that and try. It's like learning a golf swing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing more annoying than if you've ever tried to swing a golf club and going with like two or three other guys that golf really well, all trying to fucking tell you, you know, like, oh, you got to look at the ball. Oh, your elbow here. Oh, your wrist rolling here.
Thing at a time.
It's like, fucking hey, dude, leave me the fuck alone. Let me just practice one thing. And I've told my buddies that
let
before.
Let me get in my flow.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. I heard what you've said. I'm picking up on all the things I'm doing wrong, but right now what I'm trying to do is perfect one of those things. Yeah. I'm trying to get really good at this part of my swing.
Great point.
And then I'm gonna add the next piece of that. And the selling and communicating is very similar to that. Is there are so many pieces to it that that will make a great swing or a great sales presentation. Don't overwhelm yourself with all the different things that we're saying right now. Find one or two things that we said that you feel like you're not doing and implement it and become a master at that, and then add the next
one. And the way you do that is through practice.
100%.
Listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If your review is one of the best ones and we pick it, you will win a free t-shirt, Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin, Adam at Mind Pump Justin, and you can find all of our programs. Did I say again? Mind Pump Justin. Sorry, Adam. Mind Pump Adam. And you can find all of our programs at Mind
he just
Pump
loves
Radio.
Me more.
At mindpumpmedia.com.
He's a hater because I have more
He's
followers.
He's on my
that's
page.
Why.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.